York Institute ends Macon County's 40-game winning streak. Upperman sweeps DeKalb County, and Jackson County prepares to face Trousdale. The York Institute Dragonettes pulled off a monumental upset on Tuesday night as they defeated Macon County 52-32 in Jamestown. It was Macon County's first loss since November 25, 2019, and York's first win over the Tigerettes since January 20th of 2017.
For us going in, we knew that, you know, in order for us to have a chance, that we had to try our best to shut down, Gregory and Shoulders. And, we did a pretty good job doing that defensively. You know, it was the key was defensively and slowing the ball down, possession at a time. And, Gregory and Shoulders are great players. And, but we did a fantastic job defensively last night, I thought.
Was there a run at some point last night or a moment at some point last night where you kind of realized what was happening and that you were about to take down Macon County?
Well, a team like Macon County, you don't know. I mean, we got up 22, I think, but, until that horn goes off, you never feel like the lead is safe. Then we had last year, we didn't even get close. Like you said, 40-game win streak, that's incredible. Until that horn went off, it still didn't seem real. Very proud of the girls. A big night for us.
How much of playing a team like Macon County is overcoming kind of that reputation? I feel like when in sports, we see often where, in college football, a team plays Alabama and they almost kind of play unlike their normal selves because they know it's Alabama and they're scared to make a mistake. Is there something similar that could be said about Macon County and just the reputation that Coach White has built at that program that, you can't play scared in order to beat this team?
Yeah, I mean, most teams would say, when you play a team like Macon or Upperman, you've got, you're trying to play as close to perfect as possible because, you have to do that in order to even have a chance to win. They have such a storied past, and, 40 straight games. That's, like I said, that's amazing. But, we were glad we followed the game plan, and as a coach, it's kind of, to me, it's one of the harder things is, trying to create that culture where, hey, where it doesn't matter what's happened in the past, now we've got to go do what we got to do. It's a completely different team for us, completely different team for them. And, the only thing that's the same is the name on the jersey. We're trying to develop that mentality where whoever we're playing, we're not worried about who it is or what's happened in the past. We're going to go out and play like we can.
So I have to ask you, as enjoyable as a win like last night is, how important is it now to kind of shift those gears and move forward, not focusing on that? Because as good a win as it is, it's one win, and it's time to move on to the next one.
Exactly. And that's going to be one of my key points. And, I want the girls to enjoy it. But it's over with now. We've got, I keep telling them we've had some pretty big wins, in the last couple of weeks, but in order for us to be where we want to be, to get there where the Macons and the Uppermans are, we can't follow, these great wins with, below average performances against the next team. And we've done a pretty good job here these last six games of, performing well every game, no matter who we're playing. But we've got to continue that, and because we want to be, we want to be up there where Upperman and Macon are. And, in order to do that, you have to, you've got to be consistent every night like they've been for the last, 10 years or however long it's been.
Coach, I know a lot of the credit on offense typically goes to players like Haley Johnson and Ellie Lefeu and Gabby Beatty, but I feel like two players that have really done a good job and have stepped up for you lately are Sage Smith and Michaela Reagan. Can you just talk about the impact those two have had on this team so far?
Sage last night, she can, defensively, her and Haley both defensively, played a tremendous – did a tremendous job against Shoulders and Gregory. But, offensively, Sage did a great job last night. She hit some big shots for us, and, Shoulders played a great defense. And she was, she guarded Sage most of the night, and Sage handled the pressure pretty well the whole game. So that was huge. We got to have that every night. Michaela, she's going to give you, 150% every night offensively and defensively.
That was York Institute Dragonettes head coach, Michael Green. Coach, thank you for being with us tonight. The Stone Memorial Lady Panthers defeated Ray County in their district opener by an 82-33 margin on Tuesday, an offensive performance that was a pleasant sight for head coach Mike Buck.
We kind of sputtered a little bit the last two offensive games offensively. And so, yeah, it was really good to see us, you know, get some rhythm and, you know, we shared the ball. It was distributed, evenly distributed throughout the team. And so, yeah, it was really good to see our focus level, you know, kick in that the way it should as you enter into, especially a road district game, you know. So I was really happy to see that.
Your girls are on a 12-game winning streak right now, and it's not like you've played a bunch of slouches. You know, I'm seeing Clark Range, Maryville, Granger, Alcoa, Oak Ridge, just to name a few. You know, you've played I think Cumberland County's really improved as well, and you've played them twice. It certainly seems like your team's been able to just get the job done no matter who they've played this year.
Yeah, we've been it's been a neat year. You know, obviously we stubbed our toe out of the gate, and then from that point on we've been able to find ways to win. It hadn't always been pretty, but you know, we've got a group of kids who are experienced, who are talented, who are unselfish, and you know, they're coachable. You know, and so what's really cool about that is that you know, each one of those teams that you mentioned right there have different strengths. Some are guard oriented, some are post oriented, some, you know, like to slow it down. So To be able to have success against all of those teams, you know, under all those different scenarios, it really says a lot about our kids and how well they you know, they listen and they follow scouting reports, you know, offensively and defensively. So we always are going to try to challenge our guys. We always want to play the best teams out there. If we have problems during the regular season, meaning weaknesses or things that we're not very good at, I want to expose those as often as possible during the regular season, because, you know, let's face it, regular season basketball, it's all practice for the tournament, right? And so that's where the you know, the legends are made, is postseason. And so it's neat to see us, line up different you know, teams, different styles, and still see our kids go out and perform and do well and find ways to win. It's really a good sign, you know, for our program, kind of where our program is right now.
I think in the last few weeks especially, I really like what Skylar Dishman has given this team. She's played really, really, really well. What do you think has been the key to her success?
You know, I've been telling her, listen, it's your time. It's your time. You know, she started late with us, but kind of has fallen into a kind of a backup role the first couple of years with us, her sophomore and junior year. But, you know, I kept telling her last year, even her work ethic and you know, just her, you know, some people, they approach the game with a clear conscience, meaning I'm not out here anything for me. It's all about what can I do to help this, you know, this team be successful every night. There's never been a selfish bone in her body. She's one of our hardest workers. You can really tell she's a quiet kid. If you pay attention, you can really see her focus and her determination, you know, come through with the work ethic and just the example of how she works, you know, especially in the weight room. You know, she's really putting a lot of time, you know, does really well in there with us. So she's just a special kid. But I've been telling her for a while, it's your time. You're ready to roll. You're ready to do this. And so and part of the adjustment physically, I guess, on the floor, I guess, you know, technically on the floor was, you know, she always could shoot it, but now she's getting her body and getting her footwork and everything ready before the ball gets there. So she's doing her work early so that whenever the ball hits her hand, she doesn't need much time in order for, you know, to get it off. And so just super proud of her. I know the girls are you can see a whole lot of hands go up whenever the ball leaves her hand, because all of her teammates are all believing that it's going to go in. She's shooting at a really high level, and she's earned it because of her work ethic.
The next time the Lady Panthers take the court, they'll be looking for their second straight district win, as they'll be in McMinnville on Friday to take on a much-improved Warren County Lady Pioneers team. Until then, that was Stone Memorial Lady Panthers head coach Mike Buck. Coach, thank you for being with us. The Upperman Bees defeated district foe DeKalb County on Tuesday in a game that head coach Bobby McWilliams says He believes the Bees found their identity, along with some consistency from the perimeter.
Well, I think that we're starting to develop a little bit of, I guess, consistency or gaining some identity. I felt like, you know, up until this point, we've been, you know, we've had so many different lineups that's been in and out, and kids been sick or hurt or injured and all that kind of stuff. You know, I just felt like we're starting to kind of get a better understanding offensively of things we want to do. And we shot the ball. We're shooting the ball, you know, a little better than we did earlier in the year. Earlier in the year, we didn't shoot as good as we thought we would. We felt like going into the season, this may be our best shooting team we've had, you know, maybe ever here at Upperman across the board. And we have not done that to this point. But starting to get a little better at that. I think defensively as well, we're starting to understand what we need to be doing on that end as well. So just good to see the kids come out and play with a lot of energy on the road and, you know, get a win.
One player that really stuck out to me because of his energy was A.J. Nash, and he really seems to be that guy that he might not score 20 points, he might not grab 15 rebounds, but he's always around the ball, and he provides a high level of energy that any team could really benefit from.
Sure. I mean, A.J.'s a really good player. He's trying to find his way and adapt to the speed of the, you know, the varsity level game, and he's doing that very well. He's put a lot of emphasis on trying to get better defensively, and he's getting there. But you know, offensively, I think he's always been you know, a top level kid. He can shoot it with the best of anybody, and I'll put him up against anybody anywhere. He's a great passer. He understands the game really well. And now that his defense is starting to come around and he's have a better understanding of, you know, rotations and things of that nature, it's really, really been a huge, huge shot in the arm for us, little booster, just being able to have that consistency coming off the bench. And I'm happy to see him just start getting going in the right direction for sure.
Another thing I really noticed, and I feel like this is something that you've helped build here, is just the way the starters cheered on the guys at the end of the game. You know, when you're able to get some guys in there that maybe don't play a lot, you know, there seemed like there was a lot of energy still, even in a game that the outcome was pretty much decided at that point. But these guys are still into it. They're supporting these guys. They're screaming and cheering for them. It's a togetherness that I feel like winning cultures build better than anything else. But it's also because these guys enjoy playing with each other and they've played together for so long.
They do. You know, this group of kids are the most selfless kids that I've probably coached collectively as a whole. I mean, from player one to player 15, these guys, they give everything they can for their team. You know, we've got several guys in our lineup that could average 20 or more. And, because the way our team's built and who all, you know, is on our team and then the way we play, they don't have to do that. They realize that and they understand that. But also too, you know, a good thing about these older guys is they appreciate the young guys that come to work every day in practice and give everything they have, trying to compete and make them better. And they understand that's part of the process. And, they appreciate those guys because, you know, if you don't have competition in practice, you're not getting better. And our older guys understand that. So the younger guys are important to them. And, you know, I've been very fortunate since I've been here that it's kind of been that way most of the years that we've had a good understanding of that concept. And our older guys have taken care of our younger guys, and that's what we want to continue doing.
The Upperman Bees are currently on a 7-game winning streak after their win over DeKalb County on Tuesday, and the Bees will be back in action on Friday when they host Cannon County in Baxter for another district matchup. Until then, that was Bees head coach Bobby McWilliams. Coach, thank you for being with us tonight. The Jackson County Blue Devils are currently sitting at 8-6 through 14 games, including a 3-2 mark in league play. Head coach Kevin Thomas says he's pleased with where his team is at and specifically mentions his offense as one of the biggest bright spots.
Yes, I would, for right now, we've really been scoring the ball well this year. We We've had a couple of games that we haven't and kind of struggled from the field, but you know, I feel good about this team just simply because you can just tell they're really responding to coaching and trying to do what we're asking them to do, and it's been a fun group to work with.
I know when we talked before the year, you said your main focus was just overall consistency. So would you still say that's kind of still the focus right now, is you just kind of want to clean things up and get better at both ends?
It is. We're trying to get more consistent. We've got some guys that have had to step into scoring roles for us and hadn't ever had to do that before, and just finding that consistency for them to know that, you know, they need to come out and look to score the basketball for us each and every night.
When I look at the district standings, Coach, it's hard to argue against this team not being one of the most improved, or against this team being the most improved team in pretty much the Upper Cumberland. I feel like this team's really taken a lot of leaps forward this year. You're in the top four in the district right now. How important is that going into the meat of district play, that you've gotten off to the good start that you have in district play?
Well, it's just really important, you know, especially this year, and playing those home games, you know, throughout the district tournament, while we're doing the tournament. And, you know, each time you move a step forward in the standings, you know, yeah, it's another possibility of having another home game, you know, in the tournament. So I just think that's huge, you know, to come down down here toward the end. And, you know, we've got a really good district. I mean, we've got some pretty good, solid basketball teams. So it's going to be a tough January here in early February.
Coach, I look at your district schedule and I look at, you know, obviously we mentioned you're 3-2. Those two losses are to Clay and Pickett, both teams that have, you know, obviously state tournament aspirations. They want to be in Murfreesboro in March. But when I look at the two times you've played them, it's not like this team's been blown out. This team has been right there with an opportunity to maybe, you know, win and, you know, move up in the standings. Is there a good confidence level for this team right now, knowing that they can play with both of those teams? Whereas I know when we talked before the year, the belief was it was those two teams and then kind of everybody else.
Yes, you know, we've been ahead against both teams at halftime and been right down there into the fourth quarter tied with Clay. You know, we've got to find a way to learn how to win those type games. You know, I know that we can play with them. And, you know, when we're talking right now, our aspirations are being in Murfreesboro and looking ahead, and we feel like we have an opportunity to. We just, you know, we have to keep improving. But I think a bigger thing is just to play with that confidence level, you know, of learning how to win those big games. You know, I hope that we can get to where we can do that later in the year. And a lot of that is just maturity and work, you know, in the gym and in practice, and hopefully that, you know, we have some good things happen for us.
One player you talked about before the year started, Coach, was Ramon, and I feel like he's lived up to everything you told me he would be, in the sense that he's a really good scorer, he can shoot the ball from the three, he can pull up off the dribble at mid-range, and he can get to the rim. Do you like what you've gotten out of him so far?
I do. You know, I met with Ramon yesterday, and you know, he kind of struggled the last game or so for him, and missed shots he normally makes. You know, I kind of put it to him, how good do you want to be? You know, I mean, if you want to be as good as I think you can be, you've got to spend extra time in here and play at a different level, you know, intensity wise. And because he has improved, but there's another step. I think he could be really dynamic on the offensive end, but his intensity level has to continue to improve for him to take another step forward as a player.
Coach, I don't think it's an understatement to say you've got one of the biggest games in the Upper Cumberland this Friday when you take on Trousdale County, and that's a game that you could potentially move into the top three in the district if you guys are able to win. What has to happen for this team to get a win on Friday?
Well, you know, I'll just be honest with you. We're going to have to make sure the forward kid is, you know, he had 27 the other night. He can really shoot it. You know, we're going to have to know where he's at on the defensive end.
Again, that is Jackson County Blue Devils head coach, Kevin Thomas. Coach, thank you for joining us tonight. Despite a tough loss to Upperman on Tuesday, it's hard to argue against the idea that the DeKalb County Tigers have improved. Team currently sits at 4-7, and they're on pace to pass last year's win total. Though head coach John Sanders says the team will need to improve overall offensive consistency in order to do so.
Well, you know, we struggled offensively again, just being able to put the ball in the basket. get shots off. I don't know how many turnovers we had in the second half. It was quite a bit. And then defensively, we couldn't get stops when we needed to. They come out in the second half. You know, we sort of cut it to like 8 or 10 right there at one point, right before halftime. And then we had two little blunders that sort of allowed them to, you know, push it to double digits right there at halftime and gain a little momentum. And then starting the second half, I think it felt like they scored every possession of the third quarter. You know, their opening possession, I think they ran a minute off the clock and just showed real good patience on offense. You know, I felt like we had a good defensive possession. We just didn't get the stop. They made a good shot. Just from there, you know, it seemed like the basket just got smaller and smaller for us. Every possession, you know, we needed to score, and then they were sort of scoring at will. You know, we really didn't have an answer for them last night. They're a good team.
I feel like there were some positives in terms of players that came off the bench and gave you good minutes, and guys like Stetson Agee and Connor Close. And did you like what you saw out of them? Because I know those are guys that, you know, their playing time might be a little sporadic. It's a little here and there, but did it feel good to see them come out against a really good team and put in good minutes?
Yeah, you know, they did some good things. You know, I was glad to see. You know, Stetson's been getting more and more aggressive every game. You know, his confidence has been growing. And then Connor, you know, he's just a freshman. And that's one thing he's sort of, you know, an emphasis for him is, you know, we're just trying to tell him, hey, you know, be aggressive. You know, you're a good ball player. Be aggressive. Don't be worried to mess up. You know, mistakes are going to happen. And last night he looked like he was trying to be a little more aggressive. And you know, against a good team like that, you know, we're glad to see him hopefully – you know, taking a step forward in that, you know, maturation of trying to become, you know, somebody that we can depend on down the road.
When you look at this team and compare it to last year's team, do you feel like there have been strides that have been made and that this team is absolutely better than the one that you put on the court last year?
Yeah, you know, I really believe that. You know, I told our guys last night, I said, you know, before the game, I mean, you know, we feel like we can compete night in, night out in our you know, with anybody in our district. You know, obviously we have to play well, you know, and we struggled last night, but you know, I haven't always felt like that in the past. Yeah, you know, I feel like this team, you know, one thing they do, they play hard. They try to do everything we ask them to do, you know, and they do a really good job of that. And I think, you know, this is just a little speed bump. You know, we told them last night, like, hey, you know, it's a speed bump. Let's forget about it, but also remember the feeling of getting blown out at home, and you know, understand, you know, you have to get back to work tomorrow, and gotta be ready to, you know, got a winnable game Friday that we've got to prepare for. We've got a lot to work on between now and then.
In terms of what you said about just, you know, going out there and playing hard and giving max effort, I feel like nobody personifies that more than Luke Jenkins. I feel like he's that kid that you kind of always know what you're going to get out of him. He's going to give you good minutes. He's going to play hard defensively. Do you think that he is kind of the best example of that for your team?
Oh, yeah, by far. He, you know, Luke has always, ever since I've started coaching here, I've noticed that about him. He always plays hard. He's always trying to do what you ask him to do. You know, he understands his role probably better than anybody, and that's, you know, just to – He's got to play hard all the time, maybe to make up for, you know, what he lacks in athleticism. I mean, he's an athletic kid. You know, he's a pretty good skill set. But, you know, night in, night out, we're asking him to guard the other team's best player usually.
The DeKalb County Tigers will get their next crack at a district foe on Friday when they take on Macon County. Until then, that was Tigers head coach John Sanders. Coach, thank you for joining us tonight. The York Institute Dragons earned a 9-point win over Macon County on Tuesday. But if you ask head coach Roy Whited, he'll tell you that the team needs to come out with more energy when it takes the court.
I think at halftime we were just flat. We didn't respond to their energy level. I think the second half we turned up the defensive pressure, put more pressure on the ball, made it harder for them to make the entry passes on the inside, and our guys did just a much better job defensively than what we did in the first half.
You got a big game from Bryson Bilbrey. That's got to be a good sign for him as a young player that he steps up in a big district game like that. What pleased you most about his performance?
Yeah, I really like he is a natural in the fact that he just has instincts to be around the ball. That's not coached. That's just the natural instincts of being a basketball player. He, you know, being a freshman, we start two freshmen, play three freshmen a big part of the time. And so we're extremely young with one senior. And so it's taken these guys, you know, a period of time to get used to one another on the floor, a new coach, a new system, and in what has been the worst of circumstances with the COVID virus. You know, we were practically shut down without a game for a month, only had five players that could practice. And so that put us another month behind with having no summer camps, no preseason scrimmages. It's just taken us a lot more time than it normally would to come together and put the pieces together for the coaches and for the players, knowing a rotation, who plays well together in situations, what are we going to do defensively, what are we going to do offensively. And, you know, fans, I understand, and coaches too, are not patient. And, you know, as a coach, you want to see that happen overnight. It just doesn't happen that way in high school basketball or on any level, I believe. It takes time. It takes repetition. And it takes game experience. And these freshmen are just now getting a taste of high school basketball experience.
You know, Coach, it's funny. You mentioned all of that. You mentioned, you know, COVID and how that's impacted you, you know, only having a set number of players. Is it then kind of crazy to you to look up and realize that you guys are tied with Upperman at the top of the district? You've played four games in the district. You've won all four of them. Is it kind of crazy to look at everything this team has gone through? And how rewarding is it to know all of this and know that the results are still, I mean, you're right there where you'd like to be. You're right there near the top of the district. You've got a two-game lead on the team that's in second. That's got to feel good.
It really does. And you know, we lost some games early, I'll be honest with you, that we should have won. And that was coaching errors, coaching mistakes, and unpreparedness for situations. For example, having a 10-point lead on a really good Cookeville team with less than 4 minutes to play, and we blew that lead. And again, that wasn't the player's fault. That was the coach's fault by not being prepared and having players in the positions they need to be. But and then we did the same thing against Rossview, a Triple A team that was very athletic. And you know, our record doesn't indicate, I don't believe, the as good as we can be. And of course, we didn't expect to be at peak performance. We expected to be farther along, but again, with circumstances out of our control, has put us behind. But it is very satisfying that we've told our players that we're undefeated in the district. That's what we're shooting for. We're playing a really strong non-district schedule that is preparing us for the district and hopefully for the tournaments. And to be right there toward the top of the district in a very, very strong district, it's been rewarding for our players to respond positively and go out and know that they were capable of doing some good things in this district.
Again, that is York Institute Dragons head coach Roy Whited. Coach, thank you for joining us tonight. The Van Buren Eaglettes took down Whitwell on Tuesday for the first time in 4 years, an effort that head coach Tyler Sapp says was due to his team's excellent defense.
Our defensive effort. We played a man, and we were just prepared for him. And I mean, we played hard, and I mean, held them. I mean, I couldn't ask us to play better defensively last time.
How important is it to get off to a good start in district play as far as building momentum for the rest of the season, especially in a year like this where you're not really sure how many games are going to get played or what games are going to be postponed? How important is getting off to a good start in district play?
It's it's huge. Any year it's good to get off to a good start in district play, but especially against them. They had a 20 game district win streak coming into last night, and we haven't beat them in 4 years, and that was something. Seeding in our region is huge, because you want to make sure that you can try to play that fourth place team and secure that number one seed. And obviously, you used to go win the district tournament and all that kind of stuff. But it starts, as I was telling my girls, it started last night. Our run for a good seed in the region and the district started last night, and that's what we had to have.
First win over them, you said, in 4 years. That's got to be a big confidence builder for this team.
Oh yeah, for sure. We were real close last year in the district tournament to beating them up. We had a few mental mistakes down the stretch, but it's huge confidence booster for us. And we've not won at Whitwell in 5 years. So
I have to ask, that this team is currently sitting at 12-1, and honestly, probably the quietest 12-1 team I've ever seen. It seems like there's not really a lot of fanfare around this team. Is this where you expected to be, though, knowing that you were returning most of your team from last year?
Yeah, this is exactly where I expected us to be. Obviously, we knew Whitwell would be tough. And you never know what you're going to get into in the Christmas tournament that we go to. So, and that's our only loss in the season is to Gallenberg Pittman in the Christmas tournament. This is exactly where I expected to be. I look down the schedule all the time and kind of figure out, hey, what games, are winnable. And every game that's on our schedule this year is a winnable basketball game for us. So, I expected to be right here.
Is depth this team's greatest strength? Because it seems to me every time I look at the scorebook or I see this team play, it seems like there's it could be anybody on this team on any given night that leads the team to a win. It could be Riley some nights. It could be Emma others. It could be Layla another night even. Is depth this team's greatest strength?
I think so. We've run into a few teams that want to try to face guard Layla or. Well, mostly it's been Layla, but last year, we ran into some teams wanting to face guard Emily. And, that's fine if you want to do that, but we've got our team doesn't just evolve around them two or even Emma or whatever. We're very balanced, and like I said, I think we've had four or five different leading scorers this year, and that's huge. It's good to have a balanced team to be able to play team basketball and play through each other.
The hope for SAP is that this win propels the Van Buren Eaglets into even more of a winning streak. Again, this is their first win against Whitwell in 4 seasons, and it's their first win at Whitwell in 5 years. But until they take the court again, that was Van Buren Eaglets coach Tyler Sapp. Coach, thank you for joining us tonight. The Clay County Lady Bulldogs are on a 4-game winning streak and currently sit in second place in the district. After their win over Red Boiling Springs on Tuesday, head coach Matthew Walker says he was pleased to see contributions from up and down his roster.
Just contributions from different people, not just scoring per se, but we did a great job going to the offensive boards, defending. We closed out on the shooters. We did a pretty good job all around.
The rebounding was actually one of the first things I wanted to ask you about, because I know as much as this team relies on defense, rebounding and holding teams to one shot is incredibly important at that end of the floor. Do you feel like your team has really done a good job of that lately?
I think so. I think it's definitely much improved from last year, and it's still one of the focuses. We address daily in practice and pretty much every game. We talk about limiting teams to one shot, and that's definitely a big key for us.
Katie Arms scores 20 points, and it just seems like the last couple of games, she's really starting to hit her stride, and I know that's got to be a good sign for you, especially as you head into the meat of district play.
She did. She played really, really well. She made a I think three threes early and got her outside shot going, and they stuck one of their best defenders on her and told her just to stay close and not to let Katie catch it. So Katie had to find a different way to score, and just like all good players do, she did. She figured out another way to score.
I feel like Katie, as far as players I've seen play that I feel like have this scoring mindset that she has, I feel like she doesn't let bad nights bother her. And how important is that when, sometimes you go through slumps and you're not, your shot's not falling? How important is kind of having that mindset of, I'm just going to keep on going, I'm just going to keep shooting, and eventually they're going to start going?
That's something I've talked to her about really since her sophomore year, is having the maturity mindset of, because when you're one of the better players, you're not going to get open shots per se. You've got to find a way to to create offense. And, you know, you've got to be ready to shoot it when it comes to you. You can't hesitate because you're not going to get many good looks whenever you're one of the primary options.
Another player, another senior of yours that I've really, really raved about when people have asked about who I think are some of the better players in the Percumberland, Rachel Kopis. It seems like every game, you know, leading scorers may change, leading rebounders may change, but you always know what you're going to get from her. You kind of know that she's going to run the offense well, she's going to play tough defense, she's going to give you some scores here and there. Talk about just her growth as a player from freshman year to now.
Well, last night was a bit of a struggle for her because she got some foul trouble, and that's whenever Red Bullen kind of made a little bit of a run on us with Rachel out. And that just goes to show you how important she is at everything she does for us, not just scoring the ball, but the passing, ball handling, defense, rebounding. She's just such a good all-around player. And her growth as a freshman, you know, as a freshman, she was the point guard. Her job was to take care of the ball. She didn't have to rebound hardly as much. She didn't have to guard the best player night in, night out. But as she's grew into a senior now, her responsibilities have changed. She's almost always on the other team's best player. She has to get rebounds for us, which is that's a tough ask out of your point guard spot. But she still finds a way to get 4 or 5 rebounds a night.
Another player that has really shined for y'all lately has been Bella Ashlock. I know kind of a struggle shooting the ball last night, but I feel like she is a prime example of if you hustle, if you dive for loose balls, if you crash the glass, no matter how old you are on a high school team, there's a spot for you and there's minutes for you.
Yeah, that's one of our big keys as well is getting some second chance points, whether it's through offensive rebounds or taking charges or turnovers. You know, we need some players that's going to create some second chance points for us. And Bella's done a really good job of that this year, especially crashing the offensive glass and getting those putback points.
That was Clay County Lady Bulldogs head coach Matthew Walker. Thanks for joining us.